It is Wednesday, June 17th, 2026. You are watching the program with Ed Rawl and Jamarl Thomas, and also with producer Robbie West. We are here for the Q&A show because it is Wednesday and it's 12 noon, and that's what we do Mondays and Wednesdays. Thanks so much for joining us. The normal show, the program with Ted Rawl and Jamarl Thomas, is here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Hope you'll check that out. You don't have to be here live. Obviously, we stream 24/7 on YouTube and Rumble. So please tune in anytime. We are here to take your questions. We'll be talking about whatever, but really, we're here to take your questions and comments right now. That's the main point here. So if you have a question for Robbie, Jamarl, or myself, please go ahead, or all of us, or two of us, or whatever, go ahead and pipe those in into Rumble or into YouTube. The Rumble rants, which are the paid versions, and the YouTube super chats, which are the paid versions over there, are going to get priority by necessity because we still live under capitalism. But we also do the other questions as well. But this is just a reminder that we need and really appreciate your support. We're going to have to wrap this one up, by the way, in 45 minutes. I have to leave a little early. So I hope that's okay with everyone. So all the more reason to just get to your questions on the sooner, on the quicker side. Robbie's going to sort through them and put them up into the live chat. And that's about how that works. All right. Anything we need to get to before we start dealing with the questions?
Well, I haven't had a complete chance. Well, I guess there are a few things that are bubbling up. Trump walking into the meeting with the G7 countries late and then saying, "I'm the boss," it sits down. Obviously, that's like this need to humiliate. It seems to overcompensate. But does the overcompensation highlight a point? Let me ask that, and I'll ask it flat.
That's a good question. I mean, among the many, many outrageous, over-the-top, rude things that Donald Trump says, this strikes me as one of the least over-the-top, rude things.
Agree. But I'm talking about, does it say something about the power dynamic in the relationship? Because, look, it's one if I am acting that way and I don't have the power to act that way, I'm going to be laid low, right, in some particular fashion. And right. I'm saying whatever this is, if you're at a job, if you're at your chess club, if you're at your, you know, I don't know, orgy, pick any random thing, it's not going to fly. This continuously flies with him. He makes every point he could to humiliate the European countries. Yeah. It's just amazing to me. It's like he gets his kicks off doing so.
He does. He's always trying to big dog.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's that reeks of insecurity, the need to do that. And I guess maybe there are two ways to look at it. A, I want to get across. I don't like these people, and I want to get across the power dynamic between us. Or just rank insecurity and overcompensation. And obviously, it could be both. But I don't know. It's just, it's unseemly. Like, every time I see it, I cringe. I know some Trumpers think this is great. Oh, look at Trump big dogging the European vassals. I don't know. I think strength can be quiet. I don't think it needs to be this. When everybody's going to kiss the ring of Xi Jinping doesn't need to make them look like assholes when they do so.
Right.
There's just strength. This seems petulant. I don't know. It's just very strange.
I agree with you. I think it's stupid, to be honest. He just shouldn't be doing that. I think it's like, it's besides vulgar, it's dumb. You know, really, to me, it's dumb more than anything else. I hate it. So, I wish he wouldn't do it. I think it makes him look bad. I think it makes the United States look bad. It's just like we just shouldn't. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could ask, like, why do they put up with it, right? I mean, it is weird that they do put up with it. And it's dumb. It's dumb that they put up with it.
Well, I can answer that question.
Please do.
That question is, well, let me ask you two questions. One, the reason why Trump is being a bully is because he was just humiliated by Iran. And he blames Europe for not stepping in and assisting with opening the strait and jumping into the war that he started without consulting them. So right. He blames them for the defeat. I think that's a big part of it. Second, Trump is looking at this from a standpoint of Europe, is that you are our vassal. You're not entitled to respect. And lastly, the reason why the Europeans put up with it is because they want the American security blanket. The reason why the European nations don't need to build up militaries, and the reason why France doesn't have to worry about Germany bitch slapping them like the Germans typically do every few decades, is because the Americans are there to pacify the Europeans and make sure that they stay in their borders and that everyone plays by the same rules. If the United States left, then Europeans might be in danger of remembering what the history of Europe is, which is nation states are fiercely competitive with each other and will use military force to achieve their ends. The American pacifier prevents that from happening. So you're willing to deal with a vulgar American, not have to worry about your neighbor remembering that 300 years ago, this land used to belong to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the answer.
I think the wild part is, though, under normal circumstances, presidents leaning on the notion that the country is a vassal is not a good way of maintaining that vassal. Like, meaning, yes, I want you as a vassal. And yes, I want to be able to project power in Europe. And yes, you're beneath me. But I don't need to throw it in your face constantly. Because if I do, the moment that you get the opportunity to bite me, you're going to bite me. it's that, right? Like, everybody understands what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't need to throw it in your face. I think it's that for me. But I don't know.
Europe doesn't matter anymore, though. Asia is what matters. I mean, throughout most of human history, Asia is what's mattered. Europe has always been a backwater, and Europe is once again becoming a backwater. It does not matter. Seriously, to what value do the British Isles contribute to the world globally? Or what does Italy offer? Or what does Czechoslovakia, well, I guess it doesn't exist anymore, but Slovakia or Slovenia offer? The answer is absolutely nothing. Now contrast that with China and Korea and Japan and the nations there in Southeast Asia. Europe does not matter. And if you don't matter, you're not entitled to respect. In addition to being a vassal, you're a defanged vassal. You contribute absolutely nothing of value to the empire in any way, shape, or form. You are a net drain. That's why Trump is doing this. He's mad at them for not stepping up against the Iranians. He sees them as a waste of American resources because that's what Europe is. And he also sees that they are an occupied cuck of a continent that can do absolutely nothing without his blessing. And if you're banging this other guy's wife, do you need to show him respect? The answer is no.
Well, it depends. If you guys are at a, what are those things called? Swingers clubs. Then you may let your wife have some fun, just like you're having some fun. It doesn't mean that you're, like, I know what you mean when you're saying cuck. You're talking about cuck like a guy in a gimp suit. Somebody's banging his wife. I get your point.
I mean, it's a humiliation ritual.
Yeah, it's humiliation. Yeah, it's humiliation ritual. Just be aware, though, they're not going to be humiliated forever. I mean, at some point, they're going to lock, like, meaning they may jump ship at some point.
And go where? And do what?
As you pointed out, Asia. Meaning, right now, Europe is a tick on a dog's ass, believing that the dog is the thing that allows them to have influence and power around the globe. I agree with you. Yeah. Cut, gimp suit, all that stuff. Agreed. A waste on resources. It depends on how you look at it. If you're looking at it from the standpoint of a neocon, then no, it's our power projection device in Europe, just like Israel is our power projection device in the Middle East. Like, it's our little platform of sorts. In that case, from a neocons point of view, then yeah, obviously they want to maintain NATO. They want to maintain their footprint in Europe, and they want to maintain control of Europe, even if Europe is, quote unquote, a waste. From our point of view, yes, it's a waste. It's a waste. And by the way, Europe is continually starting wars. If they calm the fuck down, the wars will stop. It's not like Russia's trying to start a war, right? And the blank check that the United States effectively gives Europe makes them uppity in the way that they, oh, we're not going to stop this war and blah, blah, blah. And in 2030, we're going to be ready to fight the Russians. Okay.
JT, I'm willing to bet you if the United States pulled the plug tomorrow, the next war in Europe would be between Germany and Poland. There are unsettled scores to be settled on both sides of that border. That would be the flare up. The French probably would like to maybe have Sardinia back. It's historically been there.
It all would fracture if America pulled.
Oh, for sure. Because think about Europe's history since the fall of the Western Roman Empire through 1945. It's a small continent. Mm-hmm. Resources are scarce. There's a fierce competition. Now, the reason why Europe has all these fancy castles that tourists like to go to is because Europeans traditionally are very wary. They're very wary people. And that's what would happen. That's why the Europeans are willing to sit down and suck their thumbs and let Trump insult them. It's because they know as soon as the Yankee does go home, that security competition is back on in full force. And the Germans are going to remember what Germany is. The French are going to remember what France is. The British, maybe they will. Who the hell knows? The Italians, they'll just surrender like they usually do. But it would be... I mean, that would be the security competition, though. It would be France, Germany, and Poland.
Oh, God. I don't know, Robbie. I mean, I know, I get your point. Like, if you look back at the history of it, these people, they've been fighting constantly. Like, and you would get Russia gets sacked. And then you get the war where Napoleon loses in Russia. And then you get, and you get this back and forth constantly. They, like... And it's like hundreds and hundreds of years of them doing exactly what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. The difference being the U.S. wasn't involved, with up the exception of the Second or the First World War. Part of me feels like this is repeated history. I think the difference is nuclear weapons.
Yeah,
I think that's the difference, right? Like when Napoleon sacked Russia and Russia responded with him having to basically leave his own military to get smashed, neither had nukes. Like, you can only do so much damage to the opposition. You can murder a lot of people. You can lose hundreds of thousands of men, like Romans were doing.
Sure.
But for all intents and purposes, nobody is getting nuked out of oblivion, right?
Well, I think in Europe, the only powers that have nuclear weapons would be France and England. That's it. Yeah. And they're expensive to maintain. If the French can no longer support... Because let's be honest, the reason why Europe has a welfare state is because they've outsourced their national security to the Americans. They don't have a military.
Ish.
So if they have to actually...
Like, if the United States ceased to exist tomorrow, you think that France is any less safe? I mean, it's probably safer in many respects.
Well, I don't think anybody's trying to attack France. Like, I don't put it this way.
Not yet.
Well, who?
I don't think Europe will behave.
Who's coming? You think the Krauts are coming back for their 40-year tour? I mean, they're not. I mean, what's going to happen? You know, the War of the Roses going to start up again? I mean,
I don't know. But I tell you what, let's pull the plug. Let's end the European welfare program and see what happens.
Well, I think what's going to happen is they're going to shut the fuck up.
The French military is already more than military. I mean, I am French. If I lived in France and I felt like I had more of a right to talk shit about French politics, I'd be pushing hard for a major cut in French defense spending. I mean,
all the French army can do is go on safari in Africa. Like, listen,
hooligans.
Let's just assume, for example, that the War Hawks were right, that the neocons were right, and that the Russians really were coming to Paris. I understand that, but listen to the argument, because right now France does not have a military because they don't need one.
They do have a military, though.
They go on safari and go kill Africans. That's not an army that can fight a peer nation.
He's talking about a real military.
I'm talking about a real army. I'm talking about a real honest-to-God army like what Russia or Ukraine has. France does not have that. They have a glorified police force that goes around and slaps brown people. That's what they have.
If like in this theoretical, in this scenario where you have Vladimir Putin suddenly decides to turn into Hitler on steroids and Genghis Khan combined, in that scenario, which, by the way, the French are going to see coming a long time away because they have to work through a bunch of countries to get there. The French are going to go nuclear. That's why they have a nuclear arsenal. That's why they won't be attacked by Russia.
No, I get that. But the point that I'm trying to make is that
we don't need a big standing army.
From an economic standpoint, though, without the Americans protecting them, they would have to have one. And then you got to make a choice.
I just told you why they don't.
Yeah, you do. What happens if the British decide we get uppity again?
Same thing. We have nuclear weapons. We're good.
That's the rub. Nuclear weapons. That's the doom bringer, right?
But they're expensive. Expensive to maintain.
You won't be maintaining them after you fire them. I mean, I'm just saying that, like, if let's say the UK in this impossible to imagine scenario decides to cross the English Channel and invade France, not Macron's wife is launching the nukes.
Maybe. But what I'm talking about, though, and we got some questions that are coming in now, which is good. The point that I'm trying to make is that the reason why the Europeans are able to have such a generous welfare state is because they don't have a military.
What I'm trying to say is they don't need one.
That is true. That is true.
On that, look, do you really believe that the Russians are trying to get the French, the Europeans, the Germans, et cetera?
No, not at all. But what I am looking at, who's threatening
the Europeans?
Well, they would threaten each other, JT, just like they've done for 2,000 years. If old grudges are going to bubble up, you're going to have nationalist governments coming in. Well, what would happen? Let's just say if Marie Le Pen's ruling party comes in, they said, well, what we're going to do is that we're going to start expelling every single Moroccan and Algerian. We're going to round these people up. We're going to go full Robbie here. We are going to make France French again. Uh-huh. And let's just assume, for example, maybe Spain doesn't like that.
Well, Spain is not going to get involved.
But it's not unless the French were dumping them into Spain.
Right.
Which they could do.
Which they can't do.
Why not?
They're going to do it.
Yeah, why not? I mean, just go to the Pyrenees, drop them off, enjoy. Go on safari.
Spain has a border with France.
I understand that. That's why you could just go and drop them off. Listen, migrants get dropped off here in Montana from California all the time. Are you trying to say that?
What we're postulating, though, is France invading Spain to dump migrants.
They wouldn't invade them. They just drop them off. Listen, this is just...
That's literally an invasion. They have borders.
No, this is just... Listen, what I'm postulating is... I realize, yes, it's nonsense. But what I'm saying is that from history, Europeans have fought each other for millennia. And the only reason that they haven't been is because they have been an occupied continent since 1945.
I take your point that
if the pacifier goes away, they fight again.
There's a pressure cooker. We kind of saw one being released with the death of Tito and the collapse of Yugoslavia. We saw when suddenly the 1389 Battle of Kosovo was a problem. So, yeah, I mean, that can happen and will. But the question is really, truly, what's the U.S. role? The U.S. role is a grift. NATO is a scam. It's all predicated on the idea, and NATO only exists for one reason, which is
to pacify the Europeans
and to repel Russia, right? And so if Russia doesn't need to be repelled, then it stands to reason you don't need NATO.
I agree.
Or you don't need the United States.
Kazakhstan is of more value to Russia than all of Western Europe combined.
100%.
So,
but Russia doesn't need to invade Kazakhstan. They just need to rent it.
Listen, I completely agree with you. But the point that I'm trying to make is that the reason why the Europeans are willing to sit down and be insulted by the ugly American is because the ugly American is the only thing that's keeping the Europeans from fighting and killing each other.
I have another theory. I think that what this is really about is the European edition of the military-industrial complex bullshit scam, which runs in Europe just the way it does here in the U.S., and that part of the racket with the elites and the Macrons and all those people is – they're grifting and they're in the they're completely on the take from these big defense contractors, which sell shit all over the world. Not just they're not just sustaining their own armies. None of this, just like here, has anything to do with defense. It has to do with arms dealing. And, you know, I mean, France wants to sell its Mirage jets, right? I mean, everyone wants to sell their shit. And that's, and so, you know, if, you know, you can't really claim, you can't really have a giant weapons industry for domestic consumption unless you can kind of convince your population that they're under, they themselves are under threat. Otherwise, it would be like, why instead of, why is France not focusing on what it does well, making films in which everyone dies in the last scene and rich creamery butter on slabs of awesome organic beef instead of this bullshit that's actually imperiling us, right? I mean, a lot of French people get it. They know it, but a lot of them don't. This is bullshit for domestic consumption.
Well, the thing is that nationalism is increasing in Europe. We're seeing that with the elections of right-wingers in Europe.
Well, that was inevitable after the EU, right?
Yeah. And so that's the point that I'm trying to make is there's probably not a more powerful force on this planet than nationalism. And when Europeans start remembering who and what they are, then that can cause some really serious problems because throughout history,
the U.S. you know isn't going to help anything, right?
So we would help by leaving.
They don't need us. Yeah,
I agree. So let's get the hell out.
Yeah.
All right, absolutely. So let's do some questions here.
We got some now.
All right, so it is a Q&A show, and we're 23 minutes into a 45-minute show, so we should probably do that. All right. Alfie CD, would you reform the Electoral College? If so, how would you change it? Robbie, you're not going to like this, but I would abolish it. I think a representative democracy is one person, one vote, and the original reasons for the Electoral College really aren't pertinent anymore, so therefore I would abolish it.
We should have a parliament.
Yeah.
Because the problem that I have with all of this, right, is that let's say you get 5 or 6% of people in a particular caste. Okay, those people get weeded out of the political process. They have no power. Mm-hmm. And yeah, one man, one vote, I'm okay with that, I suppose. I mean, California is going to, at this point, control U.S. elections going forward, if that's the case.
I mean, currently, okay, so yeah, the thing is the big populous states obviously will control the elections. If we think of ourselves as a nation full of states where we all have the same interests, I mean, look, I live in New York, right? New York City is socialist, basically. Upstate New York is Trump territory. We have nothing in common with each other. And like, so it's not like there's a team New York. There's just voters. And some of them live in New York and some of them live in Connecticut and some of them live in Alabama and so on. I think getting rid of the Electoral College would go a long way towards making us feel more unified politically. Yeah, I do. I don't think, I mean, it's like, and frankly, if you, you know, I think minority rights are important, but if there's anything stupider than California controlling the elections, it's Arkansas controlling the elections. You know, that just makes no fucking sense to me at all. If someone's done the calculus that, like, if you live in like rural Wyoming or say Montana, your vote counts like 27 times more than if you live in like LA. It's ridiculous.
By the way, the Senate is like that too. Yeah. California gets 2, and then you go up to like Montana, or if you go into Connecticut also gets 2. And it's like, okay, this balances out the power. How much power does the minority need?
Right.
Because as you point out, you see it in the Electoral College, you see it in the Senate, you see it with the filibuster. Nothing is done.
Right.
But that also means you're never going to see another Republican president.
Right.
I think that repealing the 17th Amendment makes more sense than abolishing the Electoral College, because in a way it's already been abolished. And here's where I'm going with this. Back before the war between the states, there were four checks on federal power. the fourth was the states themselves, because this legislature has appointed the senators. They were never supposed to be elected. Well, now we have 50 miniature presidents, all beholden to special interests, and they don't serve the interests of the states. They serve the interests of their donors. So I would advocate that the Electoral College, that's the easy target, especially for a communist like Ted, who just wants centralized control over everything. So we could all be California. No thanks, by the way. I think that if you're going to have a federal system and you have states, not provinces, then you've got to do away with the 17th Amendment.
Okay, let's move on. Jules Cartel, Robbie's a little kooky, but he makes great points, LOL. I agree with that. Justin Felsen, Israel blows up the deal. What's Iran's retaliation going to be?
Slap them.
They're going to hit Israel. Yeah, they have to. They don't have a choice.
Yeah, they'll just do what they've done before. Right?
Yeah. And in fact, I would go so far as that they don't have a choice. The moment that it comes across as if they're not being credible, it gets worse. It all gets worse. I mean, credibility is the issue. It's kind of with Putin too, right? It's like Europe has breached so many red lines that they believe that those red lines don't exist, hence predation, and hence it invites action by psychopaths. The same thing is true here. They're going to test Iran, and if they fail that test, it's going to make it look like they're not serious.
They can't have that. I'm like doing some, my computer is doing some stupid thing. Robbie,
you need to get a PC and ditch the Mac.
Nah, I can't do that. I could tell you what's going on, but it's really annoying. Anyway. Here we go. My it's just that my Mac's old. That's all. It's like, it's 9 years old.
Really?
Yeah, it's so old. I mean, it's actually really, truly impressive that it's working this well.
Yes, it is.
After all this time. I mean, computers never last this long. And I give my, you know, this thing is a workhorse. I'm pounding away on it every single day. All right. So let me see if I can. Oh, God. Okay, here we go. The Macron's FUSO. Says the French are ruled by two dicks. The Macrons are a self-sustained circle jerk.
Agreed.
See. Digital Design says the lens Robbie is using is rooted in extreme nationalism. It's a thing in Europe, but probably not a majority. Robbie.
Yet. It will be. I mean, all the trends are going that way. And I think that the race riots that you're starting to see out there the UK represent that. It's... I mean, you can only tell people to sit down and shut up for so long and without addressing their grievances. And the more people get pissed off, the more people are going to start turning towards nationalistic ideas.
Robbie, when you use this, thanks for the $5 donation from Tegberg. When you use the expanded party mod for BG3, does it make the turn-based combat obnoxiously slow and drawn out?
No, it makes it faster because that way you're able to just bring in more firepower and you're able to end the fights faster.
Dollar donation from FUSO. We have the illusion of democracy since day one. Voting is a psyop to make the unwashed masses believe they have a say. Stay invested and not revolt. Agreed. Chandler Morris, do you believe the agreement could be the first major step toward peace in the Middle East? Iran's expanding power and economic control, as well as decreasing support for Israel, could result in this. Okay, JT, prepare to laugh at me. Yes, it could be. But we are now entering a very dangerous phase because Israel is cornered and is losing friends, losing support. And when a rabid dog is cornered, we all know what happens. So Israel has never been more dangerous. What we want is for them to fade away quietly, but seems unlikely. So I don't know how we bring in Israel for a landing. I mean, maybe, you know, if we have to pay $300 billion to Iran to, you know, as war reparations, maybe we need to pay a few billion dollars to Israel to bribe them to shut the fuck up and calm down. I don't know what the answer is here. I'm very, very worried because I think the Israelis are fucking crazy.
Yeah, I'm. And by the way, I've never laughed at you when you recounted it before. I think I was smiling just because of.
I know. I'm
this
just
hopefulness.
That I'm okay.
Is coming out. I do agree with you. I totally agree with you on this. Whether Israel is going rogue or whether they're being used, in either case, yeah, from their point of view, what they wanted was to destroy the state of Iran. What they got was, an emancipatory Iran, right? It's like these guys are getting money. They are obviously showing themselves to be able to win and skirmish against a superpower and a hegemon. They've been able to take the strait, which has been able to put a tax on America in a way that has never been the case. They've included Lebanon, meaning this is not an Iran that is isolated, that the other countries are not dealing with, that the world is looking at as terrorists. It's not that. This is a different animal that they are going to have to deal with now. And an animal that showed that they can hit Israel at will, that nobody there is safe, that they are living by the grace of Iranian grace in this case, which is probably not the most comfortable thing in the world if you move in Israel for this idea of safety. No, I agree with you. They could blow the shit up in a heartbeat.
If you're Jewish, the least safe place on the planet is the state of Israel.
Yeah, unless you want to live in sewers. Yeah.
I mean, I guess Afghanistan might be edgy. There were like when I went to Afghanistan in 2001, there were still like 10 Jewish Afghans. And then some of them left, some of them died of old age. At one point they got down, you have to have I think you need 5 for a minion. And they were down to 4. They had to get some kind of dispensation from Jerusalem. And then there were 2 last ones and they couldn't stand each other. They were fighting all the time. They did say no one like gave them a hard time, even under the Taliban. Like nobody attacked them, nobody hurt them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, Jews living in Iran.
A lot. They're in the parliament. The constitution requires that they have spots in the Iranian parliament. So Frank Field, thanks for the $5. What do you think about the Zionists wanting congressional approval for any treaty, but not for war? I'm just trying to figure out a cartoon about this idea. By the way, Trump looks like dog shit on TV right now.
You said, oh, Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Trump.
Yeah.
But yeah. I find that amazing, right? Like, you know, it's like if the president wants to wage war without our consent, fuck the founders. Fuck the Constitution. Let him have it. It's like, holy shit. He's in danger of making peace. Scramble, to the bat car immediately, Robin. This is a crisis. This is a serious fucking problem. This is like, there's a great line in Bedazzled, the 1967 movie where Peter Short Order Cook Dudley Moore sells his soul to the devil, played by Peter Cook. And highly recommended. Do not watch the Brendan Fraser remake. It sucks. But I mean, that goes without saying. But at one point, the Dudley Moore says to the devil, you have it so easy. It's so easy for you. And then Peter Cook's like, you think I have it fucking easy? You think my life is easy? He's like, all it takes is 2 lunatics to sit down and sign a devastating peace agreement that would put me completely out of business.
Devastating peace agreement. I think Iran is the one that wants this to go through Congress or the Security Council. I think they say the UN Security Council in the draft. And the reason is obvious. They don't trust
treaty approval.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess my thing is, A, it's never going through the Senate. Ain't no way it's making it through the Senate.
No. And Trump knows that.
Yeah, he has to know it.
By the way, that's
where we're at. Ain't no way.
That's where we are, right? Like, let's check in with each other right now. So where this is kind of like in Pulp Fiction where they're driving through the valley with like the blood all over the windows. Like we're driving through the valley with the blood all through it. Let's check. Look, I mean, just let's think about this. Donald Trump, who is an 80-year-old, deranged, demented, senile, maniacal, warmonging psychopath who still refuses to apologize for what he said about the Central Park Five. He's to the left and more reasonable than the mainstream of the U.S. Senate, including many Democrats.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Democrats.
Fucking insane. All right. Digital design and innovation. What do you all think about a constitutional convention? 28 to 34 states needed have signed on. Guys?
Oh, that terrifies me.
I think it would start a war. Yeah. I think it would start a war. We're too divided. It would be
chaos. Because, again, the moment that you open the Constitution, you're stuck with the shit that they put in it. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, you look at the people who are running these states and who's going to have control. Oh, I don't trust that shit at all. Yeah. But that's the rub, though. Something needs to change. I mean, the Constitution is ancient.
It is
and
replaced.
Yet, I don't trust the people who would
be. It's very hard to amend.
Yeah.
I mean, right. We talked about yesterday, Hochul wanting to basically just outlaw the First Amendment in your home, in your state. Would you trust her in a con?
Yeah.
Would you trust that woman to be the arbiter of determining what speech is safe and what speech is not? Or would you trust her, or would you trust, like, say the governor of Montana to come out and rule on religious liberty? Because he is, we're having a drought. He got on he had a national, he had a statewide call for prayer. We've been like having rain for like the last 3 weeks. So people on big states look at that and say, that's crazy. Look at this redneck governor doing this. And then on the flip side, you have this metropolitan New York governor who's calling for the suppression using the force of law against demonstration. Now, the last thing that you want in this country is a con.
I thought this was an easy question before I heard you guys talk about this. I mean, no. I have long thought that we did need a new constitutional convention because it's so hard to amend. I mean, we need an equal rights amendment. Not so sure, sorry, Robbie, that we need as liberal gun rights as we have at this stage in our, in our economic evolution. I have lots of issues here with our Constitution. I think, for example, we should have the Weimar Constitution, which guaranteed every citizen a job and a living under the government. Obviously, they weren't able to fulfill it, but right. I still think there's a lot of stuff that we, every American should be guaranteed health care by the government as a constitutional right. But
I don't disagree with you. My issue is who is the one that is putting that stuff into action. Like, meaning it's one thing if you had the country rose up and the population is like, okay, we need a new convention. Okay, that I get. But with the political actors that we have at our disposal now and the amount of money that is effectively running through our political space.
God, then we're fucked. I mean, if we're literally at the stage where we cannot trust our politicians, and I'm not, and I take Robbie's point. If we're literally at that stage, and we probably are, where basically the political class is too fucking stupid or trustworthy to do this for us, well, then we should just close up shop, right? I mean, we're done. I mean, there's nothing we can do. I mean, we can't amend the fucking thing. We all agree it's out of date in one way or another. So the First Amendment doesn't go nearly far enough. It doesn't protect free speech rights. It only protects you from censorship by the government. It should go further. You should be protected from censorship by your employer, for example. People have been fired for having like a Republican bumper sticker on their car in a factory owned by a Democrat and vice versa. It's ridiculous.
Right here.
Yeah.
I've been made back in November.
Right. That shouldn't have happened. Constitutionally, that should not have happened.
But no, here's...
I agree. This is the Daniel Lazar thing, that the Constitution is old, we're creaking at the seams because of it, et cetera, et cetera. It needs to be changed. But here's the thing, though. I mean, the issue... Look, I don't think the issue is the Constitution in and of itself. I think the issue is that the Constitution has been gamed. Like, if you think about the filibuster didn't exist, like talking about, up until what, like the 60s or something like that. It wasn't even used. Meaning, at a certain point, you could function on good faith. And we are beyond that point of functioning on good faith. It's bad faith. It's the money that's in our politics. It's the corruption that these guys effectively function under. Like, meaning, even if you got a new constitution, there's nothing stopping them from gaming that constitution every bit as much as this one is being gamed. No. The issue is people. It's not the document, if that makes sense. And yeah. Maybe there are defects with the document. Fair enough. That could be managed. But the issue is the people involved. And I don't trust these people.
See, here's the thing. If our government was made up of people who are even to the left of me, let's just say if the majority were like a Jamal Thomas or a Ted Rall, I don't have to agree with you. I could work with you because I know that y'all would not be out to hurt me because you don't see me as an enemy or vice versa.
Certainly not. No.
But that's the problem with our body politic right now is that we are so fractionalized and that so many people are seen as not good people with a difference of opinion, but as an enemy. And the reason why I oppose a con is, do I want to give my worst enemy, someone who hates me with a burning passion, the power at the point of a bayonet to dictate what I can and cannot say, what I can and cannot do, and able to dictate what liberties I have, if any? The answer is no. Like, I'm actually to the left of you, Ted, when it comes to the Second Amendment. I'm kind of surprised about it. You know, you're talking about how we have evolved to the point now where we don't need it. Well, if you believe that the United States is a violent and that it is violent and that systemic racism is baked in, the absolute last thing that you ever want to do is give the state a monopoly on violence against marginalized and minority groups. You would want to have a parody of violence, because if the government does not fear you, the government then can own and control you. That's the difference.
Like, Bobby, how's it working out for us now? I mean, you know, I can go out and buy an AR-15 right now. Clovis can buy an AR-15, little one, cute one, little one.
That's not what you need.
My point is that, like, I can buy as many guns as I want, and my government has never been more predatory, rapacious, violent, cruel, and grifty at my expense. And I mean, it's not protecting me, is my point. It's certainly not stopping racism or anything else.
And that's why I say, again, kind of going back, you know, kind of throw back to the whole Electoral College argument. You're not going to fix this at the national level. It has to be fixed at the state level. People have got to start electing people, first starting with the county sheriff and then to your state house, that actually understands that the interests of your state do matter. Arkansas is not California.
We need some new parties, some real ones. But I mean, obviously, the system doesn't allow it. We're running low on time, but let's do a couple more comments, and then we'll call it a show. Heckman, are you guys keeping up with the World Cup? I have to admit, I have not been.
No, I don't care about soccer.
Just filming, really. Who is responsible for bombing the little girls' school when the war against Iran was against Israel and the USA? By the way, the New York Times had a good piece, a follow-up piece, something they're not good at doing, where they basically were asking Hegseth, like, whatever happened to that report? We know that it was the U.S. We know it was a mistake. Where, you know, when are some heads going to roll at the Pentagon for this? That incident, and you know, basically they're just dragging their ass. It's not surprising.
Why do people assume it's a mistake? Why does the New York Times assume that?
Well, because the Pentagon said so, admitted that they were using old maps and old targeting information.
I don't buy it. I'm sorry.
I know.
We have been working with the Israeli military as they've been carrying out a genocide, and we've been perfectly okay with it. We've even went as far as bastardize our own laws on this idea of starvation of a population in order to continue to give Israel weapons as they went out and carried out the slaughter and murder of women and children. We're not talking about a military fighting a military. We're talking about the slaughter, the wanton slaughter, where they danced you know, uproariously as they murdered people trying to get food. This is who a military is effectively functioning with.
Well, that's who the Israel. That's the Israelis.
Come on.
Yeah, I know there's a difference.
We've been murdering fishermen, just people that's randomly true. In the boats. Why would this be any different?
I think the truth is they didn't really. So maybe it's a distinction without a difference, right? Maybe they just didn't fucking care because, and that's why they didn't. They weren't careful at checking, and they were using 15-year-old targeting information because they don't really fucking care, and they're not holding anyone accountable because they don't really fucking care. I think that's closer to the truth.
What I would like to know is did we get the targeting information from our own military, or was it given us to us by people wearing funny little hats in Jerusalem? That's the question that needs to be answered.
It was our own people. And apparently one analyst brought it up to his boss or her boss and said, hey, this is old. And then it never rose up the chain of command. Let's see. Last comment. There's one more paid one and then we'll go after that. Trump knows Okay, we'll do the paid one. F.U. said, thanks for the dollar. Under no pretext should arms and ammunition be surrendered. Any attempt to disarm the workers must be frustrated by force, if necessary. Karl Marx.
Amen.
Good quote. And maybe Booth Funk, thanks for the dollar. $2. Just a minor donation, but want to agree with Jamarl. They knew. I also heard it was a double tap strike as well, in which case they absolutely knew.
Yeah, I mean, we need to put this in context. We were hitting, we had no issue hitting civilian targets. We had no issue going after infrastructure. We had no issue murdering fishermen that we knew were fishermen and that we double tapped. So we certainly knew that they were fishermen.
That's for sure, true, yeah.
I mean, all of this stuff is like this behavior. Like, I don't know why it would be, oh, no, there's no way we would have done that. I believe we would have done that. If only to make a point.
We firebombed entire cities to oblivion. True. Blowing up a school. I mean, come on, let's just be honest here. And if you believe the Epstein files, our ruling elite eat babies. So take that as you will.
At the very least, they fuck kids and protect people who fuck kids. Yep. I'm of mind that they knew. That's how I think they're callous. Yeah.
I will always assume they're probably more evil than what they are. And I'm going to assume they're going to screw me as hard as they possibly can. There is no good faith here. I do not trust our government at all.
Gentlemen, we'll leave that there. Tomorrow morning, we'll continue the discussion at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Thursday. Tomorrow, big day. We've got, as well as this show, we've got TMI at 10, DMZ at 11. Mr. Fish, a.k.a. Dwayne Booth, will be co-hosting, filling in for the traveling Scott Stantis. Bye, guys. See you soon.
Have a good one.